reading to you from 1 John, the first chapter, and with a third verse. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that your joy may be made complete. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. Energy Drama, converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. My things are exciting around here. I'm getting ready to start a new radio broadcast in Pennsylvania. Now, there's not a lot of gospel over there, and of course, they have the, I can't think of the name of them now, but there's a new group over there, and they don't preach the gospel. Friends, listen, if it isn't Jesus, it is no gospel. Now, Franklin Graham got, they wouldn't let him preach in the Pentagon building, and I've had the privilege of preaching there too, because he said that the Muslim religion was evil. He told the truth. Friends, I'm not against Muslims. I am against the book of Quran. Read the book. He says he wants all of us infidels, that's what he calls us, to die, and the Jews. Well, they're wrong. Listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you an iced tea or maybe a lemonade this time. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to a very familiar verse of Scripture found in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and the 7th verse. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter and like a sheep that is silent before its shears. So he did not open his mouth. Father, speak through this thy servant. Oh God, help me to preach with power, with love and compassion. And Lord, never let me forget that one day I was lost in sin. And then Jesus found me and my life has never been the same. And I pray people will be saved tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We've named this the Silent Savior. Now, Isaiah keeps developing the details of redemption. Now, we find in the third verse, it says, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. And then it tells us that he was wounded for us. But he was also a man of great sorrows in the 5th verse. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. And he's the one who carries the sins of the straying sheep. Verse 6. For all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Friends, do you realize what Jesus really did for you and for me? Oh, my stars. I tell you, the character of Christ, his discipline was under oppressions. And his control during the pressure of the cross. Now the silence of Christ proclaimed his strength. Christ was silent when oppressed. And I read in Matthew 26:47, "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a great multitude with swords and clubs from the chief priest and elders of the people. Now he was betraying him, gave him a sign, saying, Whomever I shall kiss, he is the one. Seize him. And immediately he went out. He went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you have to come for. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus, and they seized him." Oh, dear friends, I tell you, that Judas Iscariot. You know what I heard a preacher say when I was doing a TV program back in Virginia one time? He said that Jesus and his disciples were filthy rich. And then he had the gall to say, and Jesus wore designer green jeans. Oh, my stars, I tell you. Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. He never owned any real estate. All he did to come into this world was to die a cruel, cruel death on a cross because of you and because of me and my sins. Oh, yes, they were. Well, he was arrested, though he was innocent, and he sold by that traitor Judas for 30 pieces of silver. And oh, the kiss of death. He was betrayed with a kiss, and he was falsely accused but held his peace. And then we turn back over here to Matthew 26. Let's see here. We got to find it first. Boy, these Bibles are getting thicker all the time, aren't they? Well, here we go. Come on, Matthew. Where'd you hide? Okay, Matthew 26 and 47 to 56. "And behold, one of these who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, Put your sword back into its place, for all of those who take up the sword shall perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen this way? At that time Jesus said to the multitudes, Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled, that all the disciples left him and fled." Oh, friends, I just can't imagine why Jesus had to go through this. Well, we know why he did, because he loved us. Well, all of his disciples fled. But Jesus still maintained that he was silent. Now I read in Matthew 26:56, "But all those who had taken place, that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled, that all the disciples left and fled." Friends, did you know what? If you read the Old Testament, you'll find prophecy after prophecy of the coming Messiah. How he would be born, where he would be born, and how he would die. And you say, well, that was written by man. It was written by, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And you know something? As far as I've been able to ascertain, and I'm not a great Bible scholar, but I think the greatest thing right now we're all looking for, the Christian, is the resurrection. I mean, the resurrection is the when he's going to come back and rapture his church. You say, oh, he's going to rapture his church. Wait a minute now. Don't get all flustered. That don't mean because you belong a Catholic church or a Mormon church or a Baptist church or a Presbyterian or Pentecostal. It means if you've been born into the family of God by the new birth. That is the only church that'll get you into heaven. And your name must appear in that book, the Lamb Book of Life, or you're not going to go. You'll be left here for 7 long, miserable, frustrating years. For the Antichrist will, thank God, we who know Jesus won't be going through that. Well, you know, Peter denied him 3 times, and we read in Matthew 26:69, it tells us that Peter denied him 3 times. Peter later, a later description of the silent Savior, 1 Peter 2:23. And while being reviled, he did not revile. In return, while suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judged righteously. Oh, my friends, he never said a thing. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. He was silent before Pilate, and I read in Matthew 27:14, and he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge, so that the governor was quite amazed. A crown of thorn and a reed scepter, bowing before him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him, they struck him, and then they started gambling for his garments. Friends, he was silent. He never said a word when they was doing all these things. He was made of no reputation. And Paul's description of his silence found in Philippians 2, 5, and 7. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in the Jew, Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as things to be grateful, but emptied himself, taking the form of bondservant, of being made in the likeness of men. Say, well, Cecil, why did he come into the world the first place? I've told you, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now tonight, if you're listening to this broadcast and you don't know where you're going when you die, you're lost. You're doomed and you're damned and you're headed for a devil's hell that was not prepared for you and I. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, but because the sinfulness of man, one man's sin entered the world, and then Jesus came to heal our sins, to save us, and to give us this new life. Oh, friends, listen. He made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death. Friends, let me ask you this. Now you say, Cecil, I'm a Christian. I've been born again. You're not preaching to me. You're preaching to the lost. But oh yes, I am preaching to you. Are you obedient? Are you doing what God asked you to do? He told us, he commanded us that we are to be witnesses. And he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he told us to be soul winners for Jesus. Now, I can't lead us. I can't win a soul. I lead a soul to Christ because it's the Holy Spirit of God that draws your heart. The other day I was talking to a friend of mine, the Dowells, and they go down to the rest home, these two ladies do, and they've got a great ministry there. I know that people aren't going to thump them on the back and say, oh, you're doing a good job. But Jesus said, inasmuch as you've done this to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Yes, you have. They're doing it. Well, sometimes they're going to go into a room, and they're going to talk to the people, and they will start arguing with them or tell them, I'm not interested. Well, you see, beloved, if the Holy Spirit of God has not drawn their hearts, remember what Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. And no man could come to the Father except by Jesus. Oh, friends, if you're trying to circumvent Jesus to get to heaven, you're not going to get there. You say, well, I've lived a good life, moral life, and Cecil, he's got to let me in. Got news for you. He doesn't have to do no such thing. All he has to do, if you repent in godly sorrow for your sins and you invite him in your heart, he has to save you because that's his word. God does not lie. Oh, friends, I've had people say, well, you know, I've found so many mistakes in the Word of God. No, you haven't. Oh, no, you haven't. You know, you said one guy will take one verse of Scripture and read it. That's it. That's it. I know Jehovah's Witnesses, and they have a one verse Scripture that they use. And they say so many people are going to heaven, yakety, yakety, yak, yak. Well, they're wrong. The Bible even says, always learning, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Friends, I've been very concerned about this revival in the Dalles, and I've been praying and praying and praying for those dear people over there. Now, let me tell you what. They're experiencing revival, not because of me, but my prayers have not heard it. I want to see people come to the Lord. But after they come to the Lord, we have, believe me, beloved, I'm telling you the truth, you have to get them into the Word of God or they will die on the vine. Oh, yes, you want to commit spiritual suicide? Read the 15th chapter of John. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you bear not fruit, he'll take it out. No, he won't take you to hell, but you're going to lose all your rewards. I can't understand why a person can say they're a Christian and not want to talk about Jesus. Boy, I can't understand that. I know a church over here, a pastor friend of mine attends it. As a member, he don't mention Jesus. His salary's $200,000 a year. The people are paying him $200,000 a year not to preach the gospel. Having itching ears. They don't want to know about their sin. I don't want to know about my sin, but I am convicted every day when I do sin, and I do sin, and so do you. You say, well, I tell you right now, Cecil, I live by the Ten Commandments. Can't do it. Won't happen. Another man said, well, I'm keeping the law. Well, you try and keep it, but it ain't going to get you into heaven. Can't. You say, well, I'm a rich man. I recall one time when I was at a rescue mission convention, Salt Lake City, Utah. No. Boise, Idaho. There's a huge church in Boise. The most beautiful church you'll ever lay your eyes on. Who built it? Well, I'll tell you how it all came about. This multi-billionaire had a construction company. He went to this pastor and he said, "Listen, preacher, when I die, I want to go to heaven. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you $50,000 up front right now to be sure you get me into heaven." And they said, "I'll go one step further. I'm going to build you the most beautiful big church that Boise, Idaho's ever had." He died. The $50,000 didn't do any good. Because you can't buy your way in, friends. I don't care how rich you are, you cannot buy your way into heaven. It's the precious blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. And it don't wash off. No, it doesn't. What an example for us when we are afflicted. Christ was a silent lamb. I don't think you and I'd have been silent. No, I think we'd have been a chopping at the gums. That was a terrible thing he was facing. It said, as a lamb to the slaughter. Now, Isaiah looked back to the Passover lamb down in Egypt. They put the blood on the lintel of the post and the angel passed over and they didn't die. But otherwise, their sons were going to die. The lamb that brought deliverance from Egypt and the lamb that brought freedom from oppression. But he was oppressed. I don't know how many times. Fact of the matter, beloved, let me tell you. Let me make a confession. I have sugar diabetes. And anybody who has diabetes knows that we have mood swings. We don't know what caused it. Doctors don't know what caused it, but we do have them. And I could say I can be just as happy as can be. And all of a sudden, I'm just depressed. Now, you know who does that? The devil does it. God don't make us that way. Now, the lamb that rescued them from their affliction. Excuse me. Oh, my throat's beginning to get bad. I better close out. Isaiah also looked forward to the Lamb of God, the Lamb whose death would deliver those who believe, and the Lamb's whose blood would cleanse us from all our sins. You know what John the Baptist said in John 1:29. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him, said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Friends, are you moved by the silence of the Lamb? Will you come in faith to the oppressed and afflicted one? The silent Savior invite you to trust him and be made free. Oh, friends, I tell those men in prison that song that my daughter wrote, I'm free, praise God, I'm free. When Jesus comes in, he gives you a new heart. He writes your name in the Lamb Book of Life, and there it's sealed until the day that he raptures his church. You don't have to wait till after death. You can know now, today, whether you're going to heaven. You say, "Cecil, I want to go to heaven, and I really feel bad tonight. I feel kind of lost." Well, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? You say, "I don't know." Well, then you're lost. The Bible said this is written that you may know that you're passing death into life. Well, friend, would you like to trust him tonight? Do you have that little tugging at your heart? If you do, bow your head to me right now. Don't pray this unless you mean it. And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I do confess, Lord, that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my wayward life, and tonight I'd like to make it right. I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to do something. Get on a phone, call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money, because I don't do that. I don't care where you go to church, because that won't get you into heaven. You got to be born again. I'm waiting for your call, friend. I've been doing this for 40-some years on radio. I've seen many, many people come to know Jesus. If you can't afford the call, please call me, collect. I'll pay for it. 303-471-8534.
And made me.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening tonight. Oh, I pray that someone gave their heart to Christ. And dear friends, I do want you to continue to pray for me and my wife as we go to prisons. God will give us the help, and God will clear up my throat so I don't have problems so much speaking. I tell you, friends, if people realize the joy that I've had over the years preaching, you'd say, I want to be a preacher. Well, only God calls people to preach. But you pray for our ministry there in Pennsylvania and other states as God opens the door for us. You say, you bet you're 85. Well, so was Moses when the burning bush. So I don't see that as a something to keep me away from preaching. I love you people, and I do thank you so much for your prayers. I know that we couldn't get along without them. I can't. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. Oh, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.